This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 208 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. One of the things that I do at the end of each fantasy football season is look at things at a macro level and see how the league seem to change from one year to the next. In doing so, you're able to get a good grasp on why some things went the way that they did in fantasy football, and you can try and determine whether trends are actually emerging or not. I did a podcast like this one last year where I talked about how passing efficiency was down, but there were reasons for it. We saw an absurd number of quarterback injuries last year. That was one of the main reasons. When you've got a ton of backup quarterbacks starting for teams, you're bound to see less effectiveness through the air. And things certainly bounced back in 2018. According to NumberFire's expected points model in 2017, quarterbacks were adding about 0.06 expected points per dropback. That came after years of increased efficiency. The 2016 season, so the one before that, saw quarterbacks add 0.12 points per dropback. That's double the efficiency than what we saw the following year. That was the first obvious sign that 2017 was an outlier. A lot of people were screaming that the run game is back, but we didn't have enough evidence to say that. And then in 2018, so this past season, that per dropback number went back up to 0.11. It jumped right back to where things were trending. But there were some things that remained consistent in 2018 over 2017. And those things should shape the way that you and I think about building our fantasy football teams, whether it be redraft or in Dynasty. If you played fantasy football this year, which I'm sure that you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you didn't, but you probably noticed, or you at least may have felt, that elite running backs were the players who were giving teams the biggest edge in the game. And when you look at the points per game averages from the top backs this year, that was pretty much the case. Of course, there's Patrick Mahomes and maybe Kelce, Ertz, and Kittle, but there was a group of running backs who were far superior to the rest of their position by a pretty dramatic margin. At wide receiver, things dropped off pretty steadily. Devontae Adams had the highest points per game rate, but he was just a little bit better than Antonio Brown, who was a little bit better than DeAndre Hopkins, and so on. So when I see this, I ask myself, why? What did these elite assets have that other players at their position didn't? And are we seeing things happening that are actually favoring those players? One big change that we saw in 2017 over the previous six or seven seasons was targets to the running back position. Since 2011, which is sort of when we started seeing this passing boom, but since 2011, running back target shares have hovered in the 18 to 20% range, meaning about 19% of attempts were being thrown to running backs. But two seasons ago, that number jumped to 21.2%. That might not seem all that significant, but in sum, running backs had over 3,700 targets in 2017. The season before that, running back targets were 3,390. That's over 300 targets in difference. And this past season, that target share did drop, but it didn't drop to pre-2017 levels. Backs had a 20.6% target share, marking the second time that share had been higher than 20% since 2011. And it happened in consecutive seasons. Remember, we're looking for trends. This is impacting the individual running backs in the league. These targets aren't just being evenly spread out. Five of the top six target shares at running back over the last 8 years, so since 2011, have come in the last two seasons. Four of those came in 2018 alone, those four being Christian McCaffrey, James White, Saquon Barkley, and Alvin Kamara. And it goes beyond those top-notch players, too. Of the top 20 target shares at running back since 2011, 13 have come over the last two seasons. That's 65% of the highest target share seasons in just 25% of the seasons. This has helped separate these elite running backs even more from the pack. And this is why it shouldn't be shocking to see these running backs as the top picks in 2019 fantasy drafts. They should be the top picks. As you'd guess, the more targets a position sees, the more touchdowns that position also sees. And that's exactly what's gone on in passing games. With the uptick in running back targets over the last couple of seasons, we've also seen more receiving touchdowns go to the running back position. In 2018, almost 14% of passing touchdowns went to running backs. That number was 14.2% last year. Just for some context, in 2011, that share was just 9.5%. In 2012, just a little over 8%. Running backs scored an average of 66 touchdowns per season through the air in 2011 and 2012. Over the last 2 years, they've averaged over 111. Considering there's been a shift with running backs, or considering running backs have been given more love in the passing game, other positions are getting that love taken away from them, those positions being tight end and wide receiver. But let's start with wide receiver. Wide receiver target shares have suffered over the last couple of seasons. It has at tight end too. Running backs seeing more work means the other positions aren't. But from 2011 to 2016, we saw an average of 59% of pass attempts go to wide receivers. In 2017, that number dropped to 56.8%. That's more than a 2% decrease. And then this past season, it was 57.3%. And if you do a similar exercise like we did with running backs, we're seeing more spread out distribution at the position. With running backs, as I talked about a second ago, more elite players are beginning to see 8-year highs in target share. Like I said, 65% of the top 20 target shares over the last 8 years have come over the last 2 seasons. At wide receiver, over the last 2 years, DeAndre Hopkins has 2 of the top 5 target share marks that we've seen since 2011. But you won't find another 2017 or 2018 wide receiver in that rankings list until the 30th ranked target share, where Michael Thomas's 2018 comes in. Think about what that means. Of the top 30 target share seasons since 2011 at wide receiver, only 3 of them have come over the last 2 years. That means 10% of these high-end target share seasons have come from 25% of the seasons in total. What this means is that these truly elite wide receivers who have historically separated themselves in fantasy football are becoming dinosaurs. Now again, this is looking at things from a macro level. We're analyzing this from a bird's eye view, and we're only looking at target share. But I will say, the main reason for that is because volume drives everything in fantasy football. Without the volume, you won't see yards, receptions, and touchdowns. One positive thing that came from 2018 for wide receivers was that there was a jump in wide receiver touchdown scoring, and that seemed to come at the expense of tight ends. The 2017 season saw wide receivers score 58.7% of all passing touchdowns. That was by far an 8-year low, or since 2011. But that rebounded in 2018. That rebounded last year. Last season, wide receivers had a touchdown share of 62.8%. That was actually higher than the average that we had seen from 2011 through 2016. Wide receivers were scoring a higher percentage of the passing touchdowns. Meanwhile, tight ends really did suck ass. They had a 26.6% touchdown share last year, and that fell to 22.4% in 2018. That's really how we saw the spike in wide receiver touchdowns. And by the way, I'm looking at touchdown share here for the same reason I've been looking at target share. 2018 saw the highest passing touchdown total over this 8-year span that we're analyzing. There were 847 passing touchdowns. That's 106 more than last year. So naturally, numbers are up across the board. We had the most wide receiver touchdowns across the 8-year time frame, and we had the most running back touchdowns as well. But those are raw numbers. We need to look at the percentage of touchdowns to really see how things are changing. But like I said, the wide receiver touchdown share shot back up last year, and that's a good thing. But it does present something pretty interesting from a regression standpoint. If we're seeing target share numbers drop, or at least if they're lower than what we've seen from 5 years ago, but touchdown share numbers are stagnant, does that mean that we're bound to see a smaller share of touchdowns going to wide receivers next year? If they're not seeing as much volume, we should expect them to not see as many touchdowns. And if we do, that most definitely hurts the position from a fantasy perspective. And I do think it would only make sense for that to happen given what we're seeing. Here's the thing though, I made this same comment last season and I feel like it needs to be reiterated. When we look at these types of macro trends, we often do the opposite of what we really should be doing. Here's what I mean by that. Heading into last year, a lot of people felt good about the depth at running back. Or maybe I should say they may have thought that there were about 20 or so running backs who had a chance to be true bell cows. And that was more than previous seasons. Even if that number is a little bit lower in your mind, I'm mostly just saying that we were looking at more bell cows last year than the year prior. But for some reason, many were using this as a reason to get running backs early in fantasy drafts. But really, the opposite should have been happening if you felt that way. When we have more of something, that something becomes less valuable, not more valuable. And that brings forth somewhat of a dilemma for fantasy managers in 2019. We know there are a very select group of running backs who are seeing volume on the ground and now more through the air. Considering the rise in running back target share and how that's benefited elite backs, it makes sense to continue to draft those players early. But if there are fewer and fewer wide receiver unicorns, that means that if there's a wide receiver who has a chance to hit a 30% target share and be an outlier, then that player becomes more valuable. The problem is, do we really know who that wide receiver is going to be? That's the big question that we're going to face in 2019. Now, to be clear, the intent of today's show wasn't to give you guys draft strategy for next season. We have months to analyze all of that. I just wanted to give you guys a glimpse into part of my review process. I don't just like looking at individual players and teams and seeing what went right and wrong. We can find important insights by looking at how the league's trending with not just pass to rush distribution, but by looking at where those passes are going. And it's clear that we're seeing changes. Running backs are getting more involved in the passing game by seeing both a higher share of targets and touchdowns. And a lot of the truly elite running backs are benefiting from this. That's making the top running backs even better than they were just a few years ago. Meanwhile, wide receivers and tight ends are taking a hit as a result. It's not necessarily dramatic, but it's something. and we're seeing lower target shares from the top wide receivers as a partial result of this. We've had just two wide receiver seasons over the last 3 years with a target share north of 30%. From 2011 through 2015, we averaged 2.6 of those seasons per year. But like I said, we've got time to analyze the individual circumstances and create rankings and draft strategy for 2019. For now, I just wanted to get your brains going a bit. That's going to do it for today's show. Thanks to all of you guys for listening. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Spotify. And I'm also on Twitter, at LateRoundQB. And remember, everyone, you can hit me up on Twitter if you've got a mailbag question for me this week, or you can email me that question at jj@numberfire.com. Thanks, guys. I'll talk to you Friday with that mailbag episode.